This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Sri Lanka has run out of fuel as its worst ever economic crisis deepens. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Things will have to get worse before they get better. That's the message from Sri Lanka's new Prime Minister, Ranil Wickremesinghe, who warned the next couple of months will be, quote, the most difficult of our lives. He said the country urgently needs $75 million to pay for essential imports, including medicines and healthcare equipment. Dr. Ahilan Kadagarmar is senior lecturer at the University of Jaffna. He explains what this deepening crisis means for the people on the ground there.
Over the last number of months, fuel supplies have been on and off. People wait for days for petrol and diesel to be delivered. So this has been the case now for a number of months. So it's likely that, you know, for the next few days, we may not have fuel, and then the government has to find the foreign exchange to be able to get the next shipment in. So that's, I think, what the Prime Minister has said, warning the people to prepare for more shortages of not only fuel, but also medicines and other essential goods such as wheat flour and milk powder.
And you're, in fact, in the middle of a power cut right now, which the government has said could be extended to 15 hours a day. What is that like?
Over the last 2 weeks, it's been about 3 to 5 hours of power cuts. Though before that, for a few weeks, we almost had 12 hours of power cuts. And when it becomes that long, it becomes very difficult for ordinary people. So it really brings the whole economy grinding to a halt.
And India has stepped in to provide some additional fuel to Sri Lanka. But how dire is the country's financial situation? Because we've heard it's essentially run out of currency reserves.
That's right. This is really a dollar crisis. It's about capacity to be able to import essentials. Because of the war in Ukraine, global oil prices have gone up, commodity prices have gone up. So all of that is also having an added impact in Sri Lanka.
And one temporary solution to this is printing money just to pay the bills. It's sort of a band-aid to get, as you say, very much needed supplies like medicines and fuel back into the country. But that has a big impact on inflation, which is already really high in the country, and the currency value, which people are already struggling with such a low currency value. So how long could that sort of thing last, and what impact would that have on the average person?
Well, printing money cannot solve the foreign exchange crisis because they can only print rupees and the imports have to be paid in dollars. The issue is that the president, when he came to power 2.5 years ago, greatly reduced taxes. So the government also does not have the revenue to even pay its employees. So that is where they're having to expand money supply into the economy to be able to provide the funds necessary for the government to keep running. The price hikes, though, are partly influenced by that, but arguably it's much more influenced by the high prices globally and the depreciation of the rupee. The Sri Lankan rupee was about 200 rupees to a dollar a couple months ago, and now it's hovering somewhere around 350 rupees to a dollar. So that extra 150 rupees is passed on to the consumers on any imported items.
So what happens now?
I think we are going to have to wait and see whether the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, possibly more credit lines from India or the United States would be forthcoming. So it's very difficult times for Sri Lanka going ahead. We'll have to prioritize every bit of foreign earnings that we get from our exports towards paying for essential items and reset the trajectory of the economy towards self-sufficiency.
Ahilan Kadagarmar, a senior lecturer at the University of Jaffna. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on this program.
Checking the numbers now, optimism about the possibility of relaxed COVID restrictions in China is sending global stock markets higher today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong surged more than 3%, while other benchmarks rose in the 0.4% to 1.2% range. Hopes of resurgent demand then in the world's second largest economy are also sending European benchmarks up as much as 1.4%. The White House has taken the first steps towards somewhat renormalizing U.S. relations with Cuba. The island's economy has been in dire straits due to the pandemic and economic mismanagement by the state. The BBC's Will Grant explains what the Biden administration's measures mean for that country's economy.
Since President Biden came to office, there's been no ostensible difference between his policy towards Cuba and that of his predecessor, President Trump. Now, however, the State Department has announced that it is unpicking several of the key sanctions put in place by the Trump administration. Specifically, they include the vital issue of increased consular services in Havana, so that people can obtain the much-coveted family reunification visas. In addition, the cap on remittances of $1,000 every 3 months will be lifted, and educational visits will be able to start up again. More charter flights and commercial flights to destinations beyond Havana are due to be reinstated, and the Biden administration has promised to support Cuban entrepreneurs through access to cloud technology and e-commerce.
That's the BBC's Will Grant reporting there. To Russia now, where in 1990, for the first time ever, McDonald's threw open its doors in Moscow, and it became one of the first visible signs the Cold War had ended. Here's the BBC's Martin Sixsmith reporting on the ground at the time.
For most Soviets, the restaurant's interior is like stepping into another world. 27,000 young Moscovites applied when jobs in the restaurant were first advertised. And the reaction of its first customers was universally positive.
I like this food. I know about this food.
It's all right. I'm glad to be here.
Now, though, after 3 decades, the Golden Arches is pulling out of Russia entirely because of the nation's invasion of Ukraine. The exit of one of the most recognizable Western brands, then, is heavy with symbolism, as the BBC's Steve Rosenberg explains.
I'm outside of McDonald's, which is empty. It's all locked up. The company had temporarily closed its Russian restaurants back in March. Now it's decided to sell up and pull out of the Russian market because, it says, owning a business in Russia is no longer consistent with McDonald's values. It really is the end of an era. I was in the queue when the very first Russian McDonald's opened on Moscow's Pushkin Square, and that day there were so many people outside the restaurant, it took 3 hours to get inside. But everyone was so excited then, and those American burgers, fries and pies were a symbol of Moscow embracing the West. Hot food to help end a Cold War. These are very different times. Russia and the West have lost their appetite for one another. The Kremlin's invasion of Ukraine has sparked international condemnation, turning Moscow into a pariah, while Vladimir Putin's Kremlin points the finger back, accusing the West of plotting Russia's downfall. McDonald's will try to sell its business here to a local buyer, so instead of Big Macs, perhaps we'll have Kremlin cutlets or Putin pies. One thing's for sure, McDonald's will be missed here. In 32 years, Russians have grown quite attached to those golden arches.
It's the BBC's Steve Rosenberg reporting from Moscow there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.